My guest was raised in a secular Jewish home, went to heaven a non-believer, and came back a lover of Jesus. Next. I've thought for myself in every area of life, but one, I knew nothing until I discovered a realm where the truth isn't what it seems. A realm where the truth becomes reality.
I've spent over 50 years investigating the world of the supernatural. Every moment has led up to the main event. Millions of Jewish people will be saved all over the world. God's heart is for all to believe, for none to perish. It's called the Greater Glory. Do you believe?
It's supernatural.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Brooke Alsbrook, was raised in a Jewish family in Long Island, living, like most people, for self. But because of one dream, Jesus became the center of her life. I gotta hear about this dream, Brooke.
I had a dream where fire came down from heaven in balls of fire, like super fast. It was small, and then it got so big and vast, completely engulfing the entire surface. Came right for me, so it was right out of the sky, fast, and consumed me.
In the dream, what did you feel when it came on you?
Well, I could physically feel it penetrate my being, my body, and I convulsed in my sleep. I remember that. I remember the impact of what that fire felt like as it engulfed my body. As I was lifted into a heavenly space, it was almost like layers of my life just started to peel away. Like I could almost see my life flash before me. And little by little, just lifted into a heavenly space. And it was amazing. Came into a mansion, the most beautiful, ornate, beautiful place I had ever seen.
Excuse me, did you have any paradigm for what heaven's supposed to look like?
No, that's not at all. No understanding whatsoever. And as I entered this heavenly space, I saw angels, and I didn't know that they were angels at the time. They just looked like glorified people, just so perfect, happy, beautiful, filled with joy. There was no yoke of bondage or oppression of any kind. They were totally free in every way. And I could feel the presence of a king, a presence of majesty. And it was like a signal to my spirit, to my soul, to recognize a king, to recognize and to bow down before a king. So I looked through the archways of this mansion because there were no doors. It was just these giant archways, and they were so beautifully decorated with these ornate, detailed, gilded gold moldings. And as you look through, you could see the skyline of heaven with hundreds of what could be millions of mansion upon mansion upon mansion. And as I looked through the archway to the skyline, all the clouds came together to form the face of God. No one said God, no one said Jesus, but my spirit bore witness to God's spirit. And for the very first time, I identified as a child of God. And I knew that he was real, which I so frequently doubted.
How many years ago was this?
This was in 2006.
And yet, you're almost experiencing it, from what my observation says.
Yeah.
You're almost experiencing it as if it was the first time when you're telling me.
Well, you know what's wild about this, Sid? Is that so many times I've told the story and have told it in a way where I have not experienced God's presence like I am actually feeling right now. So that is very much the Lord and His presence wanting this story to obviously be told and for our audience and our viewers.
Well, it's even more than that.
Yeah.
You are exuding the atmosphere that you picked up in heaven. Mm. It's pouring out of you right now.
You're gonna make me cry.
Well, I'm not gonna make you cry. You're already
crying.
The
Lord is me.
And then you kind of sealed everything. What happened?
Yeah. 3 days later, my best friend took me to a Billy Graham meeting in Brooklyn, New York. And that's where I sealed the deal.
What a wonderful, so you could kind of almost put it together. A lot of Jewish people I meet have encounters where they actually are taken to heaven, and it takes them years to put together what transpired. So God had you on fast forward. Now, after becoming a believer, you had a counterfeit dream. It's almost like, you know, the Bible says the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy.
That's right.
What God has just done. I had things like that happen to me after I absolutely had the most amazing supernatural encounter as a Jew to come to know Jesus. I had the devil try and steal it from me. What did he do to you?
What he was showing me is that there is a very strong deception in the world.
Oh.
A counterfeit spirit that sometimes looks like God and appears like God, but is not God at all. And so in the dream, I was a new believer at the time, and I was sharing my faith with my best friend who was seeing a psychic. In the dream, we were in Jerusalem, and we were standing on, like, there's a backdrop just like this. And there's this really attractive, alluring man, like standing close by, and he's exuding this just like almost magnetic pull. And my best friend is standing with him, and she's like, Brock, you have to come here. You have to see this. And I was like, in my gut, I knew that that was not for me. And he had these two stone tablets, and they were pointed outward toward the heavens. And it almost was like a representation of like Moses, like it looked like God, like an angel of light. And he was holding out these two stone tablets that sent out electric signals, like electric waves, electricity that was just bouncing on top of the entire skyline of Jerusalem and beyond. And so I began to inch forward, and I began to take the stone tablet that he held out. And as I did, that same spirit of deception that permeated the entire skyline went into my body. And I was shocked with waves of the demonic. I have no grid for this, and I had no understanding, but it was like the Lord was showing me that there are counterfeits. There are people out there that can tell you your future, that can read into your life, but it's not coming in the Spirit of God. And it's not for me, it's not for anyone. And you said it before, actually. You were like, God is a jealous God. He wants to speak to each and every one of us, but He does not want us to hear from someone else. He wants us to go to Him for these things.
Now, when I became a brand new Jewish believer in the Messiah, I immediately told my mother. I didn't have the nerve to tell my father, but my father found out. Long story, which I won't take time to tell you, but the front page of a major newspaper in Washington, D.C. had a headline, White Collar Jesus Freaks.
What?
And I was the first story. That's how my father found out I was a believer in Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
How about you? What happened with your parents?
You know, it's such a long process for us. I remember one time I just cried. I wept to my parents. And I was just like, I just want us to be on the same page. I just want us to be connected. And my dad actually said to me, he said, well, maybe it's your job to bring us there. Hmm. And ironically, when I told my father my dream, and I told him that Yeshua, Jesus, came to me in my dream, that I died in my dream, and I went to heaven, he said to me, I believe you. Hmm. I believe you, he said, because it happened to me too.
He would have never told you if you hadn't had that experience.
He said he was with his buddies traveling, backpacking through Europe, and he had a dream that Jesus came to him in his dream, and his buddies were like, Kenny, go back to sleep. Like, you're on something. No, it's not real.
Real briefly.
Yeah.
What's your life like today? Are you married? Do you have children?
Oh my gosh.
What's going on?
God has been so faithful. And I think this is another thing, like with my parents becoming believers, they have seen the goodness of God flow in my life and just create amazing situations for me that I could never have come up with on my own. For my, the way God brought my husband into my life, who is so amazing. He's amazing. And my four beautiful children, the congregation that we're a part of, and how he's kind of just kind of provided just miraculously in so many ways. I mean, even every day, but he's just provided for us. I think this too has just opened my parents up to be like, this could only be God.
Well, people worldwide are getting progressively desperate.
That's true.
Do you see this as the beginning of a great spiritual awakening?
I do. I absolutely do. You know, I have friends that are just saying to me regularly now, I'm praying. You know, people that I have never even talked to about God are saying, I'm praying. And I think God is bringing us to a place of desperation. But here's the thing, Sid. What happened on October 7th, those terrible, barbaric acts of violence against our people, we are seeing sin. Like, it's like the veil is being pulled back and we are seeing sin revealed like we've never seen before. It is just percolating. It is percolating and people see it. Not believers, non-believers, like it's clear. It's in plain daylight. From the rise of anti-Semitism that we're seeing on college campuses to even the shifts of the support of Israel in the world, it in big and little ways, the world is seeing what is happening. And it is so dark and it is so ugly.
I see it as just a setup by God for everyone to see the distinguishing thing between evil and good, whether they believe in Jesus or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I feel like we're coming into a time when, to your point, there is going to be a great spiritual awakening. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. I feel even in my own personal prayer life, and this is not just for me, this is an encouragement for all believers, that God wants to so specifically speak to our lives, speak to our hearts, and in preparation for what's to come. We are going to face some really heavy-duty times. We're going to experience an outpouring of the presence of God, but it's not going to come without persecution. And we have to be ready. We have to be able to discern His voice in the midst of chaos, confusion, anxiety, fear. And right now, Jewish people around the world and just in general, they are gripped with the magnitude of the evil that we're being faced with as a people.
And it was just so sudden almost, from the White House to the colleges. I mean, all of a sudden, this anti-Semitism reared up. I can't imagine it being any different than pre-Hitler Germany. Are you aware the voice you're hearing may not be your friend? Be right back.
Brooke Altsbrook thought she was nothing special. Then God used just one supernatural dream, showing her that Jesus was her Messiah. She didn't know anything about God's heavenly language, but then dreamed about it and woke up speaking in tongues. And again, her life changed in an instant. In her exclusive 3-CD set, Brooke goes deep into sharing with you how to hear supernaturally from God in this supernatural world.
It is one of my greatest passions in life to talk about the reality of God and His supernatural ways, all the supernatural ways that He speaks to us, about how God awakens me inwardly to see the opposition that we're facing in the world, the deception that we're facing as believers, and how He imparted to me strategies that hinder us from hearing His voice. God wants to make us a prophetic people to discern His voice amidst all the other voices that are pulling at us and calling at us.
Protect yourself from demonic counterfeits, New Age deceptions, dangerous yoga practices, and every other trick the enemy uses against you. Just call or go online at sidroth.org/10014 with your donation of $25 or more, shipping and handling included, for Brooke Allsbrook's brand new and exclusive 3-CD audio teaching, Awakening Your Prophetic Voice. Hear God with clarity.
You say everyone can have a prophetic voice. What do you mean by that?
It is our destiny. It is every person's destiny that they, and God's will for them, that we be able to hear and discern His voice. In Joel 2, 22 verse 32, it talks about, and even Peter in, on the day of Shavuot talked about, cited this scripture about God, there being a day when God would pour out His Spirit and that we would be able to be, to prophesy. And I think, honestly, we tend to think that prophecy is just the foretelling of the future. It's not. And I'm not claiming to be that at all. I'm saying each one of us has the inheritance from God when we believe in Yeshua and we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We are able to hear clearly from the Lord, and He wants us to. That is His desire for us, that each and every person would be able to hear from heaven what God has perfectly designed for him.
You say there are many voices in the world. Explain that.
Like, I just feel like we're bombarded by our own thinking and the influence that we get from television, I mean, media, books, social, it's all around us. It's just this, it's just pervasive.
Most people are addicted to the news. Addicted.
Truth, absolutely. And that's an interesting point. I feel like so many people I know too, it's first to their phones and information. Unbelief is going to block us. And we have to choose to believe that the Word of God is true and that that is the ultimate authority. And when we fully align with that and submit our will, then we are able to come into agreement with God's spirit and our spirit. They can converge together. When we believe with our whole heart, and then all of that has to be filtered through the Word of God, which God gives us. He gives us the mind of Messiah.
Brooke, if we want to share the good news, should we use what's known as long-term friendship evangelism? What do you suggest?
Yes and no, because
that's such a Jewish answer.
Right? I know. I mean, ultimately, I would love to grow in this area, and I'm sure there are many out there too who want to do more prophetic evangelism. But I think that it is so wonderful when we befriend people and we don't shove the gospel down their face and we don't just say, oh, you have to believe. No, it's a testimony. It's a living, your life is a living testimony. So I just see it as building friendships. Eventually you can speak into their life.
You said, and most people would agree with you, God has an answer.
Yeah.
The answer their heart is crying for, the answer your heart is crying for, it's because God is so filled with love.
Yeah.
We are in between two moves of the Spirit of God, the last and the next. Mm. I believe the next will be the greatest move of God's Spirit in history. I believe the next will transformative that entire cities are going to surrender to Jesus. These encampments at the universities that, the inmates of the asylum are running right now, the glory.
Thank you, Lord.
The greater glory.
Hallelujah.
The magnificent glory of God is going to sweep over them, sweep over the universities, the high schools, the junior highs, the elementary schools, even the kindergartens.
Yes, Lord.
Even in your homes.
Hallelujah.
Even in your marketplace.
Thank you,
even
God.
In your work. It's going to just sweep like a cloud. And when it sweeps upon someone, they could be an ardent atheist pointing their finger at God, and they're going to say, I'm sorry, God, because they're going to repent because they've come into the presence of the living God.
Hallelujah.
They'll have no choice to be flat, but to be flat on their face. That's what we're coming into. And God wants you to be a leader in this. And the way you're going to be a leader in this, it's really easy. You first have God not on the outside, but inside of you.
Yes.
Doesn't that make more sense? You can't drive a car so well from the outside. You have to be inside the car. God has to and wants to, and you desire Him to be inside of you.
Yeah.
I want you, even if you've said a prayer like this before, make it a rededication of your life. Say this out loud with me. Dear God.
Dear God.
I've made so many mistakes.
I've made so many mistakes.
For which I'm so sorry.
For which I'm so sorry.
I'm so grateful.
I am so grateful.
For the blood of Jesus.
For the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus has washed away every sin.
Yes, the blood of Jesus has washed away every sin.
I have no past.
I have no past.
You've erased it from the book of life.
You've erased it from the book of life.
And I'm clean.
And I am clean.
It's so good to be clean.
Yes, it is so good to be clean.
I have no past.
I have no past.
Only a wonderful future.
Only a wonderful future.
Jesus, come inside of me.
Jesus, come inside of me.
I make you my Lord and Savior.
I make you my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I happen to know something about you, studio audience and viewing audience. So if you have a problem of pain in your head, neck, back, throat, anywhere in your body, anywhere, whether I've said it or not, I would like you right now to do the easiest thing you ever did in your life. It's harder to go see a doctor, have x-rays and EKGs and all the tests that you have. That's a little more difficult. I am going to make it easy for you. You have a pain in your back, stand up right now and bend over and see if it's gone. Studio audience, you have a pain in your neck, you know what you do? I didn't call you a pain in the neck, but just move your head. You at home, come on now. I'm looking at you too.
Yes.
There are people that have arthritis in their hands and fingers and wrists. Well, come on now.
Yes.
Move into your healing, in your elbows. If I could see it, I would see a healing angel walking throughout our audience right now. And that healing angel is not confined to our studio. They're right where you are right now in your home. And you just thank God for your healing. But I don't feel like I'm healed. Big deal. Without faith, you can't please God. Faith calls those things that are not as if they are. You hear a word of God. I just spoke a word from the living God. Now it's up to you to act by faith in Yeshua's name.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll tell you this. Healing physically is absolutely wonderful. But knowing Jesus is the best.
Right.